Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Feels like work. Shooting the shit for 2 hours, drinking beer, and talking beer. What a wonderful experience.
Can we not have the barf bucket near my mixing board?
I think everybody can read the book.
I knew you were going to use this book as an excuse to quit doing this show.
Mrs. Bub, if you want, I can mail you the Bub Timer.
Yeah, Newcastle. Especially in the can. Have you ever had it in the can? No, I have not had it in the can.
Notice I closed my eyes and I concentrated really hard.
Now, live from the Brewing Network studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. This is The Session here on a beautiful Monday night in downtown Concord, California. And with me is Sean O'Sullivan.
Hey there. How you doing? It's beautiful out there. You're right. It's a wonderful night in Concord.
It's a nice day. Well, a nice evening or whatever it is.
There's people out in the park. There wasn't any place to park out front, my usual spot. I'll talk to you about that after the show.
You complain about it?
Yeah.
Somebody spray paint it, but every time they pave over.
Well, so we're going to have to talk about that in the post-show meeting.
You can tell when it's starting to get really nice in the Bay Area and we're sort of moving towards the springtime. It's March. Happy March, everybody. Yeah. When I get in the car to come out here and I put my sunglasses on and instantly 5 minutes later, after I needed them desperately, it's dark. I gotta swap my glasses out again.
Well, the sun does go down faster here. It shuts right down.
Yeah, it does. And that's why I will never leave, because that really excites me a lot.
There you go.
Welcome to the show, everybody. We have Comrade Brewing from Denver, Colorado. David Lynn's going to be joining us here on the second part of this wonderful show that we call The Session.
The Session.
And Comrade, man, they won 2 gold medals at GABF last year.
They're doing well.
And Small Brewing Company of the Year.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, really. And so I'm excited to talk about that. I'm excited to talk about a lot of their sort of non-beer/business stuff that they're doing as far as, retaining employees and being nice to their employees and all that kind of give back stuff.
It's good to be
nice. I like it.
Yeah, it is. It's good. I might leave because I haven't won the Small Brewery of the Year award and
out
of just pure jealousy. So if I just leave, you'll be okay with that, right?
Yeah, I'll be fine.
You got this.
Sure. Why not?
Hey, so what's going on? You've been sick.
Yeah, bro, I was sick.
Your whole family is sick.
My whole family was sick, except my kid. My kid wasn't sick, but yeah, Taryn got sick, and then she gave it to me, and I was supposed to go up and brew with everybody at Crooked Lane on leap day, whatever it was, and I couldn't make it. Saturday morning, I was like, I can't do it.
So Alice is just sitting in the corner just flipping you off? Going,
basically, yeah. Yeah. Well, Taryn bounces back faster than I do from this stuff, and it bothers me. I don't know why. I think it's because I'm trying to be a cool man. I'm trying to be cool.
You know what? Men are wimps when it comes to getting sick. The O'Sullivan men in my family?
Yeah.
Terrible, terrible. My dad is awful. It's like literally something happened. My mom had cancer, was fighting cancer.
Yeah.
My dad had like a little sty in his eye, and he was like, he thought, the world was going to collapse.
Everything sucks at that point.
Sorry, Dad, if you're listening. It's just for the show.
For sure.
Yeah.
No, Taryn, she, like I said, she bounced back. Everything was cool. And she had to go to the doctor. And I think she maybe brought something home. I don't know. But I was out for 3 days. I took 5 naps on Saturday. I literally slept the whole... I slept and I played a mobile game on my phone in my spare room.
I don't think that's actually taking naps. It's just like sleeping the whole day. You
basically
wake up and you just put a little hashtag like, well, that's one nap. That's the second nap.
Well, I kept track of them because I would wake up and I would go, oh, I really should go back to sleep. And then I thought, well, maybe I'll go downstairs and make sure that everything's okay because as the caretaker throughout the day, every day... I want to make sure. What am I trying to say? It's like when you give your car to the detailer and you're like, but do you really know how to take care of my baby?
You got to check up.
You got to check up. Even if it's your wife or your detailer, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. Both equally important.
I agree. So anyway, and then I would hobble upstairs. Okay, I'm fine. I'm just going to go back upstairs and
take another nap.
Try to sleep. And then I would watch 2 episodes of some BBC murder show. And I'm like, I should probably really go to sleep, dude, and really try. So, that's that.
But you're better now.
I'm still tired, but I'm not sick. I never had a fever or whatever. Yeah. I was very, very concerned about the coronavirus because that's my personality.
Yeah, that you're right in that zone there. You would just...
For sure.
You probably were online looking up all the symptoms at 2 o'clock in the morning trying to figure out what's what.
Well, I wasn't doing that because I had done it previously. So I knew what was going on.
I already got that covered.
And then I was like looking up the masks, like the N95 masks.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I got to buy one because in case it comes to the area and tears through... You can't buy them anywhere. You can't buy them a single place. What people do is, what they have done is they buy them in bulk and then they mark them up on eBay.
Go
to eBay.
No, remember when the air was on fire a couple years ago?
Yeah.
All this, I went out and bought some N95s.
You should.
And so I have them. So if you need them, I'll give you my eBay account. But you're going to have to bid just like everybody else, Jason.
Raking big bucks 95 at eBay.com. Handle. But I ended up not buying any.
Free shipping.
We didn't have any. I almost spent like $60 on the mask. And then, it doesn't really do anything.
It doesn't do anything.
Unless you're like in confined spaces with people, but people, if you're walking through the store, like the grocery store, it doesn't do anything.
Yeah, it's actually to protect other people from you.
Right.
So
yes.
That's the thing.
If you're sick, you should be wearing it.
Yes.
But I'm still going to buy it anyway for the fires, for when the air is bad from the fires.
The sky is on fire.
So I don't know. But what I do know is thank you to our sponsor, More Beer. You can go to morebeer.com, get absolutely everything you need to make great beer at home. I love them. You guys know that. They're good people. They support the show, and they will support you in any level of your brewing endeavor, from extract all the way through to pro. They have a More Beer Pro side.
Yep.
So check that out.
Good equipment.
Morebeer.com. All right, what are we going to do? Oh, here we go. Announcements brought to you by Beersmith. Speaking of good people, get your 21-day free trial of the hands down and feet up. Let's just say that. Let's start saying that up. Okay.
I think that's a good catch.
The feet up way to, the number one... what do you call it? Calculator, recipe calculator.
Yes,
I'm still tired.
Yes,
I'm still coming back.
Yes.
I'm recovering, but your boy's gonna. What happens? I'm missing
craft beer calculator.
I'm losing my strength because
brewing software.
There you go.
Brewing.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jeez. I was gonna try. I had no idea what he was talking about.
I'm stupid. That's why. No, because I have my brand new tracksuit on, but Bev has the top half because she's cold.
Okay.
Yeah, see, so I got it's...
Oh, there you go.
The black on black.
Yeah.
Right? The black stripe on the black Johns.
So that's the new one.
That's the new one.
So how many do you have now?
2.
You have the one with the white stripes.
Yeah, I have the blue with the white stripes and then the black on black. Or as I say, black on.
So how many you're going to have?
Many as I can before I get the coronavirus and die, Sully.
Which one will you be buried in?
A velour one.
Okay.
Because I'm going to get a velour one. The only reason I haven't, they're all over. You can get, they're cheap. They're super cheap, but they're off brand. And I want, give me a Gucci. Give me a Coach.
Okay.
If I'm going velour, I'm going high end.
So we have to do a GoFundMe thing when you pass away in order to purchase this.
Yeah.
We got it. I'll take care of that.
Well, it's called Go Clothe Me.
Okay.
Yeah. It'll be good. You'll support it. But anyway, beersmith.com, 21 days for free. If you don't like it, well, then you don't know what you're doing. But if you do like it, which I know you will. You'll go buy it.
I love Beersmith.com. I use it.
See? Even Sully uses it.
Even Sully uses it.
It's as simple as Sully. Tickets now on sale for the Spring Brews Fest, March 28th. Go to the Brewing Network website. All the details are on there. You can come and see Bev. Beverly will be there. I will not. I will be there. I will be...
What's the date?
At my vacation house at the beach.
March 28th.
March 28th. What time does it start, Bev?
Noon.
Why
do I sound like that? Do I sound weird?
Yeah, you sound...
You sound like you're plugging your nose.
I'm not.
Yeah, well...
I don't know, bro.
Whatever. It's
fine. Bring the modulation up.
So check that out. If you want to support us in other ways, besides buying tickets to our Spring Brews Fest, support us via shopping on our Amazon link, which I believe is also on the website as well. You can hit that, go through, do your shopping as normal. It's not going to cost you anything else.
Doesn't cost anything.
Yeah, and so that's good stuff. Hit up Amazon, because everybody buys stuff on Amazon. And if you're one of those people, and if you're not going to subscribe... to our monthly Johns or whatever, this is a great way to do that.
Support the network.
That's right. If you want to do more, go above and beyond the Amazon shopping, you can subscribe and join the BN Army via PayPal as well. And there's a note in here to make sure your address is current in PayPal, because...
Otherwise it doesn't work.
Yeah. And then we don't get the money, and sometimes you don't even get the notification that your payments aren't going through, and then you think you're a cool dude.
It's chaos.
Well, and also, we do the monthly More Beer. If you're a subscriber for X amount of dollars, we do a drawing for a $100 gift certificate to More Beer, and
if your address
is incorrect, then you're never going to find out that you won. And I wait about 4 days, and if I don't hear from you in about 4 to 5 days... I do another drawing.
She throws your name right out.
She's ruthless that way, dude.
Anybody got time for that?
Keep it up to date.
I mean, some people take forever to reply to their email addresses. You know what I mean?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I thought you were looking at me.
No.
No, my husband responded to an email today from 2011.
He's like, oh, hey, babe, I want a bunch of money. I got to send $1,000 and I'll get $1 million back.
I actually want to go into that a little further, but I'm going to let it go, just what that conversation was about.
We can talk about it later.
Okay. Find us all over social media, Twinster, Facebook, Instagram, all that kind of good stuff. Any feedback on this cool show goes to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com. Let's do the Twitter game, Sully.
Okay, let's do it.
It's sponsored by the 21st Amendment.
Hey there.
And it also involves... Sully from the 21st Amendment, but we'll get into that later. The 21st Amendment and Pete's Coffee, two iconic Bay Area companies, collaborated on a beer called 1966 Coffee IPA, named after the year Pete's was founded at their original location in Berkeley, California. Is that still running?
Yeah, it's still there.
Yeah, do you go there?
I go there often. Really? Walnut and Vine.
Wow.
It's right near my house.
Wow.
Yeah, you can come down there some afternoon and just see me there, and I'll shake your hand. And we can talk about coffee beer.
Oh, that'd be nice. Rather than the traditional dark beer with coffee, they wanted to have fun with the melding of hops and coffee, paying attention to the coffee varietal and manipulating the roast level to nudge the subtle flavors of the bean for an incredibly unique IPA. 1966 Coffee IPA, handcrafted with Pete's Ethiopian Supernatural Coffee, with its lemon and blueberry characteristics perfectly complementing the tropical fruit and hop flavors of I've just cocked that all up. Aromas, Amarillo, Citra, and Centennial. I don't care anymore. Language is dumb. What are words?
You're gonna have to do this again.
Jesus,
because I pay for this. And
the West Coast IPA at 6.8%. 1966 Coffee IPA is the first collaboration beer between the two companies, and is available where you find 21st Amendment beer. Are you ready for this game, Tully?
Yes. Apparently, right. I'm part of it. I heard that somewhere.
All right, here it is. Amy is out.
Amy.
Pete is out. Andrew, also out. Sully? Oh, he's in. Come up with Sully's campaign slogan, please, for the 2020 presidential election. Yes! We're proud to announce it.
Sully 2020.
That's it. You win. You win your own shirt. So I'm going to check that out, Bev. You're on that, right?
So what's, I feel like it should definitely be O'Sullivan 2020. It just has a better
I got sound. A campaign manager now, apparently.
Am I going to get paid?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I hope you like coffee IPA.
Yeah. All you want.
I just came back from Pete's.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Well done.
Yeah. Well, can you pay your bills with old cans of Bitter American?
Yes.
Okay. They're full of water.
Fine. Even better.
That's actually partially true, but I think it's another story for another time.
That's true. Let's do some feedback, please, huh?
Okay.
All right, feedback today is brought to you by the Beer Law Center. You go to beerlawcenter.com if you have a problem with enforcing a trademark, or if you want some help filing federal or local, depending on where you live, any papers to open your own fermentationery.
That's right. It's
fermentary.
Open your own brewery.
That's right. Brewery or winery or spirits shop or
alcohol-related beverage production.
There you go.
Arena.
John at the Beer Law Center will definitely help you navigate through that. And if there's something he doesn't know, you don't need to know it either. That's all I'm going to say about that. We have a few pieces of feedback, but you know what? Honestly, all they are is, Justin, come hang out with me at my brewery. And that's it.
Really?
There's three. Yeah, there's three of those pieces, and it's kind of like, hey, Justin, my name is Johan, and I'm a Swede brewing beer in New Zealand.
NZ.
At Deep Creek Brewing Company. I heard you're coming to New Zealand for hop harvest. I just wanted to send you an invite to check out Deep Creek. We're in Silverdale, or just north of Auckland. So if you are up that way, let me know. There's good breweries. Blah, blah, blah. So there you go. There's that. And if anybody else is going to go into near Auckland, go to Homie's Brewery, dude.
Deep Creek.
There you go. This one is from Mark. He says, Justin, I heard you read my email on the session regarding Memphis and Crosstown Brewing Company. We would love for you to visit if you can fit it in your trip. I am copying Will and Clark and their founders, and here's a whatever. There you go.
He might go. We'll pass it along to him, definitely.
Definitely pass it along.
Yeah, it's going to be passed
along. And then the last one. I mean, I definitely will. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate you reaching out, man. It'll be good. Good time for everybody. And then the final one is from Chris. He says, Justin and crew. First, I want to say thank you for such an amazing show. I'm on the road tons, and I enjoy all the Brewing Network has to offer. Even Sully.
No, I just made you that added up. That.
Yeah, I did.
But I like that. You worked me into it. That was good.
Thanks, baby.
You would have said that.
It was great to see our friends at Revision on the show a few weeks back. Yeah, it was a good show, too. Nice people. My name is Chris, and I'm with Lead Dog Brewing in Reno Sparks, Nevada. We just turned 3 years old this year, but have brought a unique style to Northern Nevada. We work tirelessly to bring approachable beers to Nevada and Northern California. When we opened, we had the youngest owner brewmaster in the country. I don't know what this voice is. I'm not sure that's still the case, but yada, yada, yada. If you're coming through Reno Sparks Tahoe, we would love to say hi and host you. Take care, and we hope to see you in Reno.
Lead Dog.
Lead Dog. Well, are you writing all this stuff down?
Well, you know, these are like free plugs.
That's right, they are. That's all you got
to
do.
Yeah, right? just send a letter and ask Justin to come to your brewery.
That's right.
We'll read the name of your brewery on the air.
My brewery's in Spain, and I want you to come.
I have 20 more of these to read.
That's about it. Brought to you, of course, by John at the Beer Law Center.
With Lead Dog Brewing Company.
Right.
I'm just going to give those guys their money's worth right now.
I think you should. Yeah, the free email that
the youngest brewmaster and owner ever.
They think
Sparks, Nevada.
Yeah, and they were like, I'm not sure that's the case anymore. I don't know.
They make approachable beers. I'm all in it. I can keep going if you want.
I would love that. Have you ever been? You like Reno? You're a Reno guy.
Me?
I am a Reno.
Bev? Who are you talking to? Yeah. You're like,
no, he's talking to me.
I'm talking to Bev.
I have not been. No, I am a Reno guy, but. We typically go to the Grand Sierra Resort don't leave the Grand Sierra Resort.
Wait, what's going on there?
I don't know. They just have everything. Like, they have a bowling alley. They have mini golf.
What's going on there?
Like,
they have mini golf?
Yeah.
Indoor mini golf.
It's not indoor.
Oh,
they have like a putting thing, and then they have an indoor putting thing. Oh. Then they have an outdoor golf. Like, I think it's just like a driving range.
So everybody's getting free plugs. The Grand Sierra Casino Resort or whatever it is.
Damn, and they give me free rooms because we waste a lot of money there.
You're about to get another one, another free one.
Your frequent gambler card.
Sam is a frequent loser.
Well,
whoa, hey, come on, just keep your personal life out of here. Okay?
Yeah, that's true, right? Sully, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, are you?
I'm doing great.
Why are you doing so great?
I don't know. Just, you know, it's a good day. It's beautiful out there. I was all over the place. I was in Nevada today.
Nevada.
Had a little lunch meeting, and I was down in the beautiful industrial hamlet of San Leandro.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
A hamlet. What's a hamlet?
You know, it's a collection of small little area.
Oh, okay.
You know, like a town.
Which makes me hungry.
It's an East Coast term. We'll talk about it later.
Okay, good. All right, let's take a break, everybody. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Dan from Comrade Brewing. You can go to comradebrewing.com and check out what they have to offer before we get into the interview. It's a good time. Hang on. It's the session. We'll be right back.
Ho!
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Tuned into this session.
Because life's too short to listen to crappy radio.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's the session. I'm going to get David on the line here from Comrade Brewing, and I think we just connected. I just want to make sure here real fast. There we go. David, are you there?
I'm here.
Perfect. How's it going, man?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for inviting me on.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that Teresa, our sometimes co-host over at Crooked Lane, connected us, and I really appreciate that. Are you guys close industry buddies?
Oh, I think she just stopped by. Just one of the numerous places stopped by during GABF week.
Yeah, for sure. I know when she came back, she was really impressed with a few people. So, and I think that you were one of them, or else honestly, she wouldn't have recommended us to book you because.
Oh well, I'm glad to hear that.
Well, you know, that's how it goes, man. So. While we're on the topic, GABF 2019 was a big year for you guys. You won two gold medals, right? And Small Brewery of the Year.
Yep.
Or Small Brewing Company of the Year. Is that different?
One of those golds was for American IPA and, you know, historically the most competitive category at GABF.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, were you one of those breweries? And often we talk to brewers who are like, well, you know, I heard the bronze winner, and I'm like, well, it wasn't me, so, you know, we're not going to win. And then I heard the silver, and I was like, well, now we're really not going to win. And then when you hear your name as the gold, and did you have to...
Did your head explode?
There you go, yeah. Did someone have to shake you, or was it one of those things?
We've been, like, entering into American IPA every single year, and, you know, we've had many, many... Pretty much all the previous years have always been disappointments, and we were super excited to hear a name, you know, listed as gold. So
yeah, I bet. I mean, that's crazy. I love it. So let's start with a little bit of your history, man. How long have you guys been open?
So we are going to be 6 years old next month, actually.
Oh wow!
Congratulations.
That's pretty good. Are you doing a big do? You doing a big party?
We usually just do a one-dayer, and then we're actually going to just be we're going to be giving away free tacos the day after. So it's kind of a hangover party because it makes for a really long anniversary day the day before.
Hey, you know what? Free tacos the day after a big brewery party. I love that.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
That's true. Yeah, free tacos because it's Monday.
Wash it down with more beer and free tacos.
I love that. And you're the founder of Comrade Brewing Company. What's your background in the brewing industry?
I started commercially brewing in 2005. I was at the tender age of 22 and got a brewing job at Brewpub in West Texas as the as an assistant brewer, and kind of really, you know, fell in love with that. Ended up leaving that area after I finished school, and ended up working for Grand Teton Brewing Company in the Colorado area. And then kind of hated my corporate gig and dropped that, and I got hired on at Dry Dock in Aurora.
I had a corporate gig. This is Sully. What was your corporate gig?
I was a food service director. I worked for the largest contract food service company in the world, and it was completely soul sucking and miserable. And but they did offer a lot of good training.
Did you wear a suit?
Nope, I had to do the business casual. So actually, I have like slacks and a button up.
Or a polo maybe sometimes. You want to get saucy with it?
No, not. Well, I have to roll up the sleeves, or you know, maybe I'll have to throw on a chef's coat if you know someone calls in sick, and then maybe you'd see me, you know.
Oh damn!
Making burgers on the grill or something. So
is that what you were? So
that was kind of the worst part.
You were like prepping food and all that.
Most of it was just sitting in the office and you know, just manage the operation. But
management,
you know. You got to jump in there, kind of do anything and everything.
Yeah. Hawaiian shirt Friday. This is like office space.
It's right.
This reminds me of my older days, earlier days.
Excuse me.
I was older too.
Yeah. So it sounds like that sort of management, jumping in, helping out wherever you can, it really did set you up to own a brewery, because every story we've ever heard is always there's no really segmentation with a smaller or even a mid-sized brewery where, oh, well, I don't do that. I just file paperwork. Like, if you need help cleaning kegs or, you know, dropping hops in the thing, you got to be ready to go.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, if the urinal in the bathroom, if it's, like, not like, running or something, you know, I'm going to be going to the plumbing store and I'll be fixing that, or you know, replacing the air filters and the HVAC system, because you call the HVAC company and they said, you know, there'll be 6 months before they can get to you, and so you got to kind of do these yourself. So you got to do anything and everything.
Jeez Louise.
And charge you for it.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. It's not just, you know, I mean, you know, you come to the brewery and you just see us, you know, drinking beer all day. I mean, that's what, you know, when you're working, you know, we're also really working too.
That's right.
But we do drink a lot of beer though.
Well, you have to. I feel like that's just part of the program. Were you, speaking of drinking beer, were you a home brewer at all, or how did you initially even get started, even at 22, you know, in the beer industry?
Absolutely, you know, I think I heard in one of the previous episodes, I'm one of those guys, you know, I started home brewing, I think, in 2003.
There you go.
I would have been like 19 or 20.
Yeah, and, same.
Just wanted to, you know, explore beer and, you know, couldn't buy it, so wanted to give a shot at making it, and an opportunity came up to take a brewing gig, and this is like an old system, so all the tanks were a little bit undersized, and I must have had, you know, a dozen corny kegs, and, you know, at one point I had, you know, 60 gallons worth of beer, that otherwise would have went down the drain. And it's like, why am I even homebrewing? I can't even, like, drink all this beer. I'm just, like, saving from the brewery.
Yeah, exactly. Why not?
When did you decide to make, like, the jump from, like, being a homebrewer into, like, hey, I want to take on that loan? Or if you didn't take on a loan, congratulations. But and kind of do your own gig, like, own it.
You know, during my corporate gig, I was spending my nights and weekends helping out Grand Teton. I mean, I put in, you know, 60-hour work week, Monday through Friday, and my weekends you'd see me pouring at beer festivals. You know, working with the distributor. So, I mean, you know, this was like a passion thing. They didn't even pay me for it, and you know, that's something that, you know, I really wanted to do. But just that corporate gig, it just so much bureaucracy, and it just such soul-sucking work that I was like, you know what, I'm just so miserable here. I felt terrible just from the working conditions and, you know, the people that I had to work for, and I had to do something, and I just had to get out of the corporate gig.
Yeah,
and, you know, brewing was a lot of fun, and I remembered finally you know, messing around, just working part time, and it was something I've always kept interest in.
Did you when did you decide to, like, you know, put pen to paper, write your business plan, and, you know, and kind of start doing it? And how long did it take?
Let me see. So 2008. So it would have been 2 years into my corporate gig, and I kind of decided that this is terrible. I really don't want to be doing this anymore, and kind of started to work on ideas and names. That was also when the entire economy, the bottom of the economy, fell out.
Yeah.
2009. And You know, I just had a I stuck in it. Just kind of keep a paycheck going. and then 2010, I quit. I got hired on at Dry Dock. It was still growing, you know, really quickly. You know, the CEO is there. I get to see him. I talk to him, and you know, things get done, and it's just like such a relaxing environment. I was like, I really got to do this myself. And you know, so then the story is that my brewmaster here at Comrade, I was his assistant brewer back in 2005.
Oh, nice.
So we've always kept in touch, and I asked him, I think, you know, 2008, just kind of lightly floated the idea, hey, do you want to do this? I think in 2010, I was a little bit more serious about it.
I can imagine you crying to him.
Today.
Yeah, like, please, I got to just come with me. I can't. There is something to be said for that kind of small family feel of a business, you know, versus that corporate sort of nightmare that you're telling us about, you know, where if something needs doing, it just gets done, and there's not a whole lot of either paperwork or blame pointing or, you know, job shifting or whatever. It just a thing needs doing, and it just
it
happens, and that's it. The simplicity in that is sometimes comforting. The work could suck, but you know, there's not a whole lot of hoops to jump through.
Yeah, you can just make it happen. You don't have to fill out a TPS report.
Yeah,
where did the name come from? You mentioned the name.
Yeah, the name, it comes from the camaraderie in the brewing industry. How we all, you know, help each other out, whether it's, you know, loaning each other hops or yeast, doing collaboration brews. I think it's just so unique from any other, like, industry that there is.
Yeah.
And so it's just a lot of camaraderie, but it's a little tough to spell, a little unwieldy, so just kind of shorten it down to Comrade, short and sweet.
Yeah, I feel like camaraderie brewing would be a little, also a little like mid-90s, I think. I like
very
Comrade.
1992.
Yeah, for sure. Do you ever get any of that, I see, okay, like the finger on the nose, like, Comrade, I get it, you're a communist, let's go.
Yep. Oh yeah. We get a lot of real nasty Yelp reviews.
No,
really.
It's always fun talking about how terrible Marx and Stalin and Mao were, and you know, I don't really know much about that stuff, but
all right.
It's all tongue in cheek, and we're trying to have fun. But you know, there's definitely a few select audience out there where maybe it is a bad thing.
And so they take it not even literal. They take it just the wrong way. And they don't bother to learn about where your name comes from or anything, and they just try to Yelp shame you.
But do you get a lot of Russian tourists like rolling in on the bus, you know?
We haven't gotten any yet.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because there's a whole like tourism element that you should tap into.
Right.
I mean, it's all about, you know, making, you know, having a successful business. So there's maybe an untapped market that you don't know about.
That's right.
St. Petersburg, Moscow. Start seeing Comrade Brewing posters
everywhere
around town.
I can't imagine that people are I can imagine, and it's hard to believe that people would take to Yelp to just try fuck with someone's business.
Come
like
on,
that.
Come on. You know, it happens all the time. It's
yeah,
ridiculous.
But like, I don't know, man. That's
the anonymity of the internet.
More now, like, air out dirty laundry.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess it's true.
Lowest common denominator, sit in your underwear in your mother's basement and
right.
Type away.
Yeah, well, that's what I do. I just am shocked that other people do it also is really what I'm getting at. Well, how's the Denver beer scene? I haven't been out there in a few years, but it seems rather competitive, but you guys have been doing it for, like you said, almost 6 years. So you're right in there with everybody. How's the business going as far as that goes with, you know, do you find a oversaturation or a lot of competition around there, or is everybody still just being comrades and helping everybody out?
So the growth of the overall industry is definitely, it's approaching more of a level. There's not really that much growth. Maybe a few are growing double digits.
Yeah.
There are more than, I think, 70 within the city limits of Denver and
wow.
Almost 200 in Denver Metro. So
good.
It is a very competitive market. We're kind of on the southeast corner of Denver, so we're a little bit far out the way, but I don't know, the rent is cheap. So
that's right.
I think you know, you could definitely go downtown and you could walk to, you know, 10 breweries within 15 minutes. From us, you're going to have to drive 3 miles, or you're going to have to jog 3 miles. Like, there's no other brewery close to us. So we're kind of we have our own little island.
Okay.
We're our own little oasis in the desert of a southeast corner of Denver.
Do you find that helps with bringing people through the doors, where they're coming to you for a destination? It's not just you're on another stop along the, you know, brewery tour day, right, where people are seeking you out. Do you find that... that helps being way out there?
I think we've kind of gotten to that point now where, you know, we are a little bit more established, and people are willing to travel, especially, you know, Uber and Lyft are just so easy to just, yeah, like, cool, let me just type it in my phone and, you know, someone's going to take me there, and I'll eventually get back home somehow, but, you know, you don't have to get in trouble driving back and forth. So I think, you know, we're trying to be that destination, and we're just really trying to grow that foundation where we're at.
Yeah.
And you have food options?
We got a, you know, we do rotating food trucks, but we're in this, we're like in the smack dab in the middle of the auto park. So I've got four or five garages right next to me and a Jiffy Lube right across the parking lot. But throw a rock, hit a Sonic. they just opened up a Popeye's fried chicken about just over a year ago, and I've been there a few too many times, but that chicken sandwich is pretty damn good.
Yeah, you're set, man. There's no reason to go anywhere else. You get your car worked on, get some food, sleep
Jason's
at the brewery.
On his way.
You gotta get washed, bring your Popeye's chicken sandwich in, have
That's
some
right.
beers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what kind of beers are you focusing on over there, comrade? Are you one of these pastry stout guys? Are you one of these hazy beer guys? What are you? Are you a brute IPA guy? Talk to me.
We'll try some of these things, but, you know, we're definitely huge beer drinkers. You know, we're
sure.
we want to sit down and we want to have like three or four pints, not you know, like a 8-ouncer and kind of not be able to drink anymore.
Yeah, that's me,
so
dude.
Kind of, we try to, put, you know, kind of, I would say maybe our take is contemporary takes on American styles.
Okay.
Really, real focus on drinkability. A lot of our beers are, you know, pretty low finishing gravity, so you can drink a lot of them and not be full. But, you know, sometimes, you know, we'll do some crazy stuff like, Not that crazy, but, you know, like a Mexican lager that we lagered for, you know, 10 weeks before we put it on draft.
Wow, that's a long time.
Well, I, for one, appreciate that, because Mexican lager, I love that style, and it is one of those styles where you could sort of screw up pretty easily.
Yep.
Doesn't seem like it, but the 10-week lagering, now I'm thirsty. Now I want that.
Now you want to have
well,
that.
We didn't have any last week when I was filling up the crowd.
But,
try to keep on maybe like two or three. Try to put out two or three lagers. We just had a Italian style pilsner that went you know, went over really well, and people seemed to really enjoy that.
So there, how are you brewing your Italian style pilsner?
Well, we use a Saphir and then dry hopped with more Saphir.
Okay. Times two.
Yeah. And people like, that's a sort of a style. It, first of all, is it a recognized style? I don't think it
not
is.
Not yet, but probably next year at the GB.
I think it should be, because you're not the first brewery, even today, that I've heard that has an Italian-style Pilsner. It's sort of this, since, what's the Firestone? You know what I'm talking about.
Pivo,
there you go. Since that kind of hit the market with the, I forget the brewery name in Italy, but people are sort of diving into that Italian style, like dry hoppy pilsners. But the past 6 months, I've heard about it like four or five times. So it seems like you're seeing more headway. Yeah,
yeah, it's definitely like
which I appreciate.
It's
I love
nice
that.
Because it's a nice clean style. I mean, there's, you know, it's crisp. It's got some great hop aroma, but it's accessible. So. That's interesting. So, what kind of malt bill are you putting in that? I'm just curious. I'm just taking notes because I'm going to brew this tomorrow.
Oh yeah, sure. I think this time we just used. Let's see, it was all Great Western Superior Pilsner, and a little bit of acidulated, and that was it.
Nice, basic.
Hell yeah, I love it. Well, I just cracked.
What did I crack?
I just cracked the IPA, the Superpower.
Can I see the can?
IPA? Yeah, please. Do you want to tell us a little bit about this, David, while we drink We sup off it.
So this is our West Coast style IPA. It's been our flagship and been our number one seller since day one. It's got a lot of the proprietary varieties that everyone loves, the Citrus Simcoe Mosaic. Occasionally we'll throw in some other varieties in there just to see, you know, what if we're short on something, or, you know, just kind of like try to make the beer better every time. But finishing gravity is about like 1.4. We got we tested at about like 67 IBUs. It's got, you know, a little bit of Munich, a little bit of wheat, a tiny bit of light crystal, and it just crushable, and it's just got, I think, you know, really great balance where it's, you know, huge aroma, huge flavor, and then, you know, the bitterness isn't gonna, you know, doesn't just like slaughter your palate.
Yeah. Do you think that's the Munich sort of kicking in? Like, I wouldn't have known it unless you'd said it, but there is a sort of that biscuity, bready kind of characteristics that you don't find normally in IPAs. But do you think that sort of helps to balance out the IBUs? Because 67 is nothing to laugh at.
Yeah, definitely. We've had to change this recipe a bunch of times when we initially brewed it. Just the recipe that, you know, my brewmaster came up with didn't work with the water here. And, you know, I would say, you know, everyone always gets really tied up on the recipe, but, you know, what I'll say is, like, you know, recipe changes every single time we brew it because, you know, we're just trying to make it a little bit better every time, and we're trying to make it, you know, consistent as well.
Okay, so you're not really hung up on keeping everything the same. You want to push it forward.
Recipes evolve.
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I think, you know, we used to have, it originally started out to have Amarillo back in 2013, 2014. It was impossible to find, and so we had to substitute it with something else. And, as some of these crops, if they're not being grown well, or, you know, as the hop plants are kind of aging, maybe they're not producing as desirable of a hop as when they were younger.
Oh, wow.
And so we're always having to kind of, tweak the beers just a little bit, and just trying to make it better every time.
It's nice. It's really nice.
Yeah,
the aroma is really fantastic.
It's a good beer, you know. And I'm not an IPA guy, but this is 7.4%, Sully.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me because it doesn't
drink like that at all.
It doesn't drink like that. But maybe after the second sip, and I kind of just maybe burped a little bit, I felt a little warming, and that's it.
Yeah, it's really clean
for a high. I consider it a high ABV because I'm like you, David. It sounds like where I want to drink sort of lower alcohol beers, flavorful beers. I just like drinking, but I don't really want to get super wasted. So this wouldn't be for me, but I could. It drinks like, well, I don't know, what, 5.5%?
Yeah, it's also because it's finishing so low too. So there's not a lot of like cloying sweetness or anything like that, and, you know, not a high ending gravity. So it's really drops right off.
And you're right,
another one and another one and another one, which is the goal.
Even I do. Like, I would go back to this again if I was, you know, home.
you know,
because I just can't do it. I'm a weak person, apparently. But the flavor is great. This is great because it's not, like you said, assaulting in the bitterness. I hate using balanced, I guess. I don't know why. But
use balance. Be okay with it.
It's subtle. It's subtle. And I think your grain bill is sort of supporting all that, too.
Yeah, so this year we put it into American style strong pale ale, and that's what got our first gold at GABF.
First gold, American style strong pale ale. God damn.
Yep.
Yeah, you know what? And so I was reading that in the notes before the show, and I'm like, what the fuck does that even mean? Like, what beer would be American style strong pale ale? But drinking this, if you had given me this and go, here, this is an IPA, I'd be like, I don't think this is an IPA because it's not that assaulting bitterness that you come to find with IPAs. So American strong pale, I totally understand it now. And I think this is exactly what everything in my mind should be in something called American strong pale ale.
And the judges agree with you.
Isn't that great to just sort of rewrite history and go,
you know as well.
That's right. Now I can see this. And this is a favorite at the. I'm assuming you have a tap room. I mean, everyone has a tap room, but now, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. We Yeah, if you can make it down there, we got about we can hold over 170 people in our tap room.
Damn,
so nice.
Pretty. It's a lot on the bigger side, and
yeah.
kind of a real pain in the ass because we had to put in fire sprinklers, and that was really expensive. But for the size of space that we had, there was kind of no way to avoid it.
Yeah.
So we were like, okay, we just bit the bullet and kind of, all right, let's stuff as many people in here as we can then.
That's right. Get them in here.
Got to pay off the bill, dude.
Bring your Popeye sandwiches. Get in here.
So yeah. I imagine this is your top seller. It's got to be, right?
Oh, number one, yeah.
Yeah.
By volume, for sure. And, you know, we do a lot of kegs for bars and restaurants as well, too. So this is definitely our number one. For sure.
Is this something that kind of is a throwback to your homebrewing days? Don't get me wrong. Don't be offended. But it sounds like a homebrew recipe because there's wheat, there's Munich in there, and that's something that I would consider or I would equate with a homebrew, you know, recipe where you're trying to just, you know, reinvent the wheel with a malt bill. You know what I mean? And then it works, of course.
Multiple malts.
Yeah. Does that make sense? And if I offended you, hello, David, can you?
No. You know, when I first started homebrewing, I would say, you know, an IPA like that would have been way darker and, you know, would have been loaded up with probably a bunch of, like, Crystal 45, yeah. Something like that, and you know, when you get that like caramely sweetness with the hops, it doesn't really work. So when you axe most of that out, you kind of need to like fill in with something else to give it a little bit more body,
Carapils. Sorry, I don't mean to make fun of Carapils.
Yeah,
it's a great malt.
Carapils is a great malt.
Yeah.
Hey. Carafoam is better though. But
okay. All right.
Do you brew any of your homebrew recipes at all?
No, I haven't really homebrewed probably since 2005.
You don't have time.
Right.
I was brewing, so.
You didn't carry any?
I did find one of my original homebrew bottles that I had somehow kept for nine, 10 years, and I ended up kind of christening the brew house by, you know, smashing the bottle on the side of the kettle.
Oh, wow.
And it made a horrendous mess, and I'm pretty sure I'm still digging glass shards out of my arm, but it was totally worth it.
And there's still a dent in your kettle.
Yeah. I think that's a cool story, man.
You got to do that.
Yeah. I kept the first bottle from, like, my first 10 batches, and I'm surprised my whole house didn't explode because they went off at the same time. Like, that's how bad my contamination was. I brewed
What's
six batches, and then I stopped brewing because I was like, I can't do this. And then I realized I need to clean the bottles a little better, and then it was fine.
Everything worked out.
Yeah, I was like, I don't remember brewing with mold. What the fuck is this?
Is this supposed to be in here?
It was not very good. So you've abandoned all your homebrew recipes. You're not even going back to any of those. You're just, this is the way now, the new recipes.
Well, so I kind of just sit in the office all day now. I don't think I've even brewed at my own place since the summer of when we opened in 2014.
Hell yeah, dude.
Mark Slams, our brewmaster, he's an incredibly talented guy, and I think, you know, if you're going to open up a brewery, I would say if you want to either, you know, brew amazing beer or if you want to run a really good business, I think you can only pick one, and so... I believe that, you know, I got to hire people that are, you know, smarter and more talented than yourself and kind of let them excel and kind of know what it is that you're doing best at. And, you know, I can't compete with the level and skill that, you know, Mark's has.
That's the key to success right there.
Yeah. Do you miss it? Do you miss brewing at all?
I do, but, man, this paperwork is real big sometimes. So I kind of wish that it was like, I wish I was, you know, working for another brewery where, you know, I just clock in, and then when you know, my shift is over, punch out and not think about anything for the rest of the day. I think that's, you know, I kind of do miss those days, you know, back working for someone else. But
right. But that's what you hated.
I'm enjoying
it,
doing this too.
Yeah. Have you kind of created your own prison again? Like, you know, you left the core. So I'm sort of tracking the same thing, by the way, with my experience. But I'll let you tell your story. So are you, you know, since you got out of the corporate world and then you kind of opened your own place and now it's back to kind of doing maybe a little bit what you did before, but in a different way, you know, we could talk about this offline if you want to.
I think that you know, I don't have to talk to, you know, five different people to see if we can make this change or anything. Yeah. And we're a lot more agile, and it's nice just to kind of get things done and get things done quickly instead of having to go through layers of bureaucracy and bullcrap and fighting and P&Ls and budgets and all that other stuff. So.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And flipping burgers. If I'm going to flip burgers, it's for my employees. Damn it. So we cracked the second beer, and we have two more. We're going to take a break in a little bit and then drink the other two. But this one is Yellow Card. Nice little 5% blonde ale. Tell me about this guy.
So we only have originally when we started out, we had only four year-round beers. We had blonde ale, Irish style red ale, milk stout with coffee, and IPA. This is just you were. To get people in the door, one of the things that we hear a lot is, "What's your lightest beer?" Or,
yeah,
I don't like craft. Like, what do you have? And so that's what we'll always push them towards. And it's usually our number two seller at the brewery.
Do you still get that today in 2020?
Oh, absolutely.
Really? Wow. Okay.
Yep. They're like, "Oh, I like drinking Dos Equis. What do you have that's like that?" Or I don't like beer.
Okay.
Which then I would kind of question why you're at a brewery in the first place.
I'm on a
date.
But
we're still trying to be helpful and find a beer that you might enjoy drinking.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, they're there. They don't like beer, but they want to Yelp review you.
Yes, for sure. Because they don't have any gut to kind of like take it up in person. Talk to the taproom manager, just be real passive-aggressive, be a dick on the internet.
There we go, David. See, there we go. That's what we're talking about now.
let's open the show up a little bit here. You also have to satisfy all your customers.
That's true.
That's the key to sort of defend that idea.
We're actually putting in a boxing ring in the corner, so if anybody wants to take a number, David will be sitting there.
Come on, bring it.
Yeah, getting his neck massaged. Waiting for you. This is a great beer.
Yeah, this is really nice. It's very clean and crisp and accessible.
And you said this is your number two seller.
Yeah, we just changed the hops. It used to have all Citra in it, but I think it was only 4 pounds or something in a 15 barrel batch, and so it's only got 10-12 IBUs. But we just swapped out some Mountain Hood in it, but really basic. We put in some dextra malt, a lot of just superior. We're using the Great Western, the Pure Idaho Pilsner malt. That's also really good. It's got a good amount of acidulated in there, too. So it's got almost a very slight tang and just like another crushable, just beer drinking beer.
Yeah, it has a light tartness to it. It's really nice.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah, I love it. You know what I love about the beer industry is that you can have a brewery where you have your number one seller is an IPA.
Yeah.
And then your number two is a blonde ale.
It's like 180 degrees.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, I think as the craft beer, it's still, I think the momentum, at least, consumers are still interested in trying new breweries and visiting out and, to kind of help first-time visitors to, first-time drinkers, maybe even craft beer to kind of have something approachable. And we got some, very dedicated followers of that beer where they'll literally drink, that much. That's the only beer that they'll drink and nothing else, regardless of what we have on tap.
That would be me, too. What do you think your percentage is of new beer drinkers or beer drinkers who go, I only drink Dos Equis or whatever, versus your craft beer drinkers who come in, they know what they want, they know the menu, they understand the beer styles. What's that ratio?
I don't know, but
just make it up. It's fine.
What I will say about that is that there's a section of the customers that are they're creatures of habit.
Yeah.
They find that one, and that's what they're going to stick with. Mm. And then on the flip side of that, you're going to have customers where they want something new, they want something different. They're just wanting to just check it in on Untappd and never drink it again. So they kind of have to do. We have kind of have to cater to both these days.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was just curious because this is a conversation that I think we would have had maybe 5 years ago, maybe 10 years ago. Or I don't drink beer. Or what do you have that's super light? Because I guess being close to the dashboard, as my close personal friend likes to say, you sort of you don't really understand that there are other people who aren't in your circle and who don't have your knowledge base. And so for me, it's always weird to hear about people who don't know what a blonde ale is, for example, or know what they can order off the menu that's sort of like the beer that they always drink.
Yeah, so right by the brewery, there's a couple of pretty big apartment complexes. So, you know, Colorado and Denver in general is, you know, very fast-growing city, you know, fast-growing state.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get a lot of, you know, new people coming in pretty much, you know, probably every other week. You know, if your lease expires, you move out, and then new people come in. So we kind of have a endless stream of new customers coming in just from the apartment complexes.
Got it. Yeah, that makes sense. Being next to an apartment complex, that's got to be pretty nice.
That's great. You got a big customer base there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, David. Well, I'll tell you what, man. We're going to take a quick break, I don't know, about 4 or 5 minutes, and we're going to come back. We're going to drink your other two beers, and I want to talk to you a little bit more, obviously, about your brewery, but you're talking about, in my notes, I see you're doing health insurance for everybody. You got 401k things going on. Like, I want to talk to you about how you approach your employees and becoming a place where people are enjoying and thriving at work rather than just grinding it out.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be cool. All right, cool. Hang on. We'll be right back. This is The Session. We're hanging out with David from Comrade Brewing. I guess I already said hang on, so I guess hang on again, everybody.
Again.
I am a professional.
Hey, motherfuckers, this is Doug from fucking Society. You're listening to The Session on the fucking Bruin Network. Fuck you.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for hanging on. Sully's here griping. And I'm not listening to him, so I don't know what's going on.
You don't listen, ever.
I really don't.
I just told you that I haven't eaten meat in 3 years, and you're like, what?
Yeah.
How many times have we been out to dinner together?
I don't know. Not enough, first of all. And second of all, I'm thinking of that trip we took to Catalina last year where you definitely... Anyway.
What happened?
Yeah, nothing. We're back
off
with
the air.
David. let's take this off the air, please. We're back with David from Comrade Brewing. David, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right, perfect. Thanks for hanging out with everybody.
David, what are you drinking right now?
What are you drinking?
In your glass? What's your scene? Are you in a robe right now because you're calling in? I always wonder what the callers do when they
what's
call.
What's your scene?
What's going on back there? Huh?
I kind of ashamed to admit it, but I'm actually trying out this dry March thing. I got some other buddies that are doing it.
Dry March is a thing, guys.
Okay.
Going to try to not drink for this month.
So dry. So where do we stop? Because there's dry January I've heard of, and then I guess dry February sort of spills in, but dry March seems I feel attacked, and I don't know why. I feel like if you want to be dry, you need to be dry in January.
This is the first time I've heard of this.
Me too.
And I'm paying attention.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a new dad, and I put on a lot of weight recently. So my wife's like, you really need to lose some weight. So.
Oh. Like that.
I was also gonna give some moral support to my other buddies who are doing it too. So I was like, I'll join you too.
Yeah, that's real good, man. This is the first beer that I've had since Wednesday, but I've been sick, and then I'm kind of like, I almost don't want to have a beer tonight. I'm not having a full pint of beer. I'm having samples.
Yeah.
Because I don't know why there's some... That's the bad boy streak in me, Sully, where I just don't want to have
a
beer.
You're a bad boy dad.
So if I wasn't doing this, I guess, you know, as a brewery owner, you kind of drink a little bit differently where you would go for the low ABV stuff so you can still kind of get some work done.
Yeah, right.
And then I would probably also... Probably maybe drink the slowest moving beer to kind of help it clear that tank if possible.
You are a good business owner.
Give me 5 pints of that.
To go. I gotta go.
Strawberry vanilla stout. Which I'm sure is delicious, by the way.
So we have 2 beers left. We have Honeyman 31, and then we have Redcon. Which should we have next?
Yeah, what's the first one we should
have? You had the blonde. I'd crack open that Honeyman 31.
Let's go. And this is an IPA, right?
Yeah, so when we first opened, Superpower was, I think I mentioned earlier about the, you know, not being able to source any Amarillo, and then, you know, pretty heavy on Citra, Simcoe, and then added on Mosaic. It was a nightmare for us, you know, as a brand new brewery to try to, I think, and for anybody to try to forecast the future on how many pounds of hops that you might need.
Sure.
And so we wanted to have another IPA on, maybe not quite as high octane. So this one's 6.5% alcohol. And we call it the Honeyman series. It's named after the Honeyman aluminum products, the lightweight hand truck that you see pretty much all beer distributors use.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. And so we call it our R&D IPA, our research and development. So we've rebrewed a few of these in the past, but, you know, we're going to just try out, you know, new hop combinations for every iteration. So, you know, we're going to always come out with something new, something different, and then this way we're not going to be, you know, pigeonholed into not being able to come up with the hops to brew it again. So,
right,
kind of take care of two different problems at the same time.
Okay.
Do you have contracts, hop contracts?
We do. Yeah. Yep. Got some. I think maybe like 90 boxes worth. It's not that much. Maybe just under 4,000 pounds, 5,000 pounds.
That's pretty good.
But we're down to like 5 varieties now, and that's kind of it. If we need anything else, we'll kind of just maybe dig around the spot market, or we'll trade what we have for what we want.
Nice.
I love that. So this is the 31st version of this.
Yep.
Beer.
So we put in Lotus, which is a new one from
Lotus.
It's from Hopsteiner. They call it like the orange creamsicle type hop.
Okay.
It's got Azaka, and I think, I don't know. Is it in the sheet? I can't remember.
Let me see.
Really nice.
That's a good question.
Super refreshing.
Lotus, Azaka, and Amarillo is what I see. Yep. Yeah. Lotus.
Yep, so,
okay, so you said orange creamsicle is what you kind of get from the Lotus hops.
Yeah. Well, that's what Steiner says. So,
right. What do you get out of it?
What do you get out of it?
Because I don't necessarily get orange creamsicle, although maybe. Maybe, I guess, but I can't tell if it's because you just told me that, David, or it's actually there.
It's almost an orange peel-like.
Unfortunately, because I'm not drinking with you, I don't remember. I just know that this is one of the this is one of our more favorite ones, I think.
Yeah.
That we've made. I think, you know, it's got that kind of orange character from the Lotus, and that grapefruit dank from the Amarillo, and then Zaka's got like that resiny, it's got that like diesel oily kind of hop presence to it, but you know, try to keep it you know, in balance as well.
I definitely get the orangey, and it's almost like the orangey circus peanut like candy, but not the bad part of the candy, if that makes sense. It's
the
like
good part.
Yeah, it's that flavor of that orange comes through, and then maybe the creamsicle part is the sort of softness and roundness of that candy.
Yeah,
that makes sense, right?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it has like this orange rind, like oily rind kind of quality to it as well.
Yeah, but softer than that.
It's softer.
That's not bad. That's
it's
not
good.
Bad.
It's very drinkable. It's not as bitter as the last one.
See, I think it's more bitter.
You think so?
Yeah.
I would disagree with you, but go ahead.
Do you use the same malt bill every time you brew this and just change the hop?
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
Yep. Try to keep it the same and then just, you know, just mix up the hops.
Yeah.
You know, for most of these beers, we just kind of blend them in pretty much and, you know, pick 3-4 different varieties and kind of just blend them in equal weight.
Okay. Have you had a blend that you just hated? Like your word? Like, what am I drinking? Why did we brew this?
There's definitely been a few of those, and I think that's like a lot of the trial and error.
What were they? What was the blend?
Let's see. I think the last one I wasn't a huge fan of. I'm actually going to see if I can pull up the.
Because I'd like to know, and I think everybody would like to know, what hops don't work well together from a tested brewery, a gold medal small brewery of the year winning brewery.
Well, I don't think we're, you know, we're trying to figure this stuff ourselves, too. And
sure.
I don't know, we had this last one, the one right before this, the Honeyman 30, it had, let's see. Oh, wait, no, that one was a good one. Mosaic Amarillo Gas. Maybe it was a 29 that was a little bit different. I think it had, let me pull up the sheet here.
Okay, yeah. I'm curious. Because I don't know anything about hops anymore.
Centennial, Comet, Eldorado, and Equinaut.
Mm-hmm. That didn't work out.
That one wasn't that good. I don't know if it was
well, it's also
Equinaut
the,
plus
it's also how you
Comet.
Like, if, yeah. It's also how you balance them out. Like, what do you? What's like sort of the lead hop, or if you're just, you know, you're, mm-hmm. you're mixing it up, what are the percentages? I mean, that can have an effect as well. You know, where you're adding
they're
them. Just,
they're equal in terms of weight.
Oh, okay.
So you're doing like, you know, you're if you're doing four hops, you're just, it's 25% each in terms of the dry
yeah,
hop.
Yeah, so first where it was half pound.
Okay.
20 minute, half pound, and then a little bit later on the higher alpha one, so Centennial and Comet being in the 10%, 3 pounds of those each, and then 2.5 pounds of the Eldorado and Equinaut, and then usually a dry hop equal amounts of each of those as well.
Oh, wow.
So you first wort hop these?
Yeah, I feel like if we don't do it, it almost feels like that we are not brewing. I think we do that with almost every beer.
How much do you put in there? Do you put a lot? Is it account for a lot of your bitterness?
No. I mean, I guess it kind of depends on the beer. You know, for like our, let me see. I don't know, man. I'm maybe not the best person because I'm not really brewing anymore. So
that's fine.
We just put a little bit in because you get some of that flavor kind of carry through in a different way at the end of the boil.
Oh, absolutely, it does. Yeah, for sure. Just another little dimension there.
Nuance.
Yep. Yeah, I like this IPA.
That's good. I like this one a lot.
Yeah, it's definitely different. That's for sure. Lotus,
yep, and,
Azaka,
32 will be right. Coming out next Friday. So,
oh, what's in that one? What are the hops in that?
Can't tell you the secret.
I think it might be the same, but it's in slightly different proportions.
Okay,
nice.
So I think we like this combo so much, we're going to just tweak it.
Oh, nice.
I haven't seen the brew sheet on that one yet, but I don't know. This one's been the one that we've been liking.
Okay. What I appreciate, and again, I'm not the IPA guy, but I can also appreciate the fact that your IPAs taste like beer, and they taste like IPAs. Yep. They don't taste like juice. Are you feeling any pressure in that sort of regard to not make these juicy, pillowy, cloud-like IPAs that taste like orange juice, that you're just making actual IPAs that are to style?
Oh, you know, we like to make beer that we like to drink, and whatever we can't finish, we sell, and that's kind of the way that we approach it.
All right,
no, and we pay the rent.
We just lack that drinkability when it's like a, you know, 5.5-6 Play-Doh, you know, finishing gravity beer, and you just have one, and you're kind of just not really feeling like drinking afterwards. We have made, I think, three of them. Our first one was a collab with Breakside Brewing out in Oregon. The second one we did as a charity beer, and then the third one we just brewed again. I think we were just going to give it a shot again. So this is our third hazy IPA that we brewed, and called it Compromise Principles.
There we go. See,
it sold well, but I don't think anyone really. Any of our staff actually drank any of it.
Man, I love that. I love that a lot. Because I'm the same way. I don't like those beers in general.
You've never talked about
also
that
also in principle, yeah. And I get a lot of shit for it, too, because actually people were telling me, well, you're going to drive people away who might be interested in drinking them. And it's like, well, I don't fucking care, first of all. I'm sorry, my opinion doesn't have that much weight where I think it's going to influence anybody to do any fucking
Plus
thing at
funny.
All. Plus, it's funny. But I appreciate talking to a brewery who... You know, you dabble in it a little bit, but it's not your... It
doesn't define you.
It's not your focus. It doesn't define you, which is sort of more of my problem, I think, with those hazy beers, is breweries are letting it define themselves and change their principles. Like the famous brewery in L.A. who said no IPAs, and then suddenly that's all they're brewing is hazy IPAs, right? Like, it's you can experiment with it and embrace it to a certain extent because people do like it, but for the most part, you're drinking or you're brewing beers... that you want to brew, that you want to drink?
Well, yeah, I would say, you know, running a business, never say never.
Yes, exactly.
I don't think we ever plan on making one, but just seeing how popular they were, you know, we're like, okay, let's give this a shot, and you know, we'll try it out a few times and see how it goes. But we're not like changing our entire business model to kind of just make these things.
For sure, yeah, and that's what I like about the brewing. sort of world in the industry is it is evolving and it is changing. And then you can kind of just dabble wherever you want. And you can sort of find your center wherever you want on the scale of styles, right? What you want to do, what you want to focus on, or you can just run roughshod over the whole, every single category and just brew anything you want.
So how many beers do you have on tap usually at one time?
So we keep on the 3 year round, and then we'll try to keep at least another 8 to 10 at the minimum. So come by the brew, we'll have, we'll try to keep at least a dozen different beers on.
There we go.
That's awesome.
Depending on how ambitious the brewers are, we can put up to 19 beers on tap at once.
That's awesome. Wow. So do you span the whole range of styles from your blonde up to like a stout of some sort or?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, we'll try to brew everything, a little bit of everything. We don't do, this is going to sound crazy, but let's see. Fruit, vegetable, urban spice, barrel aged, and sours. We don't do those.
Okay.
But we'll do pretty much everything else.
So you haven't done a watermelon beer yet,
For the dark beers, we actually find that we have a lot of difficulty selling them. They're just not big sellers. I think people always say they want stouts, but maybe we've kind of become known as that IPA brewery, and they don't come for the stouts. And so we used to do some stouts. We used to have one year-round, and, it would take 6 months to go through a single batch.
Oh, man.
And I was like, okay, I guess we're going to just have to axe it. And it definitely pissed off a lot of people, but we bring it back as a winter seasonal now.
Yeah, that would piss me off, too. I love stouts. But also...
Well, I wish they would sell. I would
exactly.
Carry them if people bought them.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about taking care of your employees. I'm reading in my notes that, 20 months after you opened, you were providing health insurance to your employees.
Yeah.
What was behind that decision? I mean,
I know that the brewing industry has kind of had a bad rap for really relying heavily on volunteers, unpaid labor, pretty low pay, exchanging maybe a decrease in pay for like free beer. And so I don't think to kind of like have this be like a respectable job. I mean, you're gonna have to treat people with respect, and I want to make sure that I take care of my people. And so we kind of looked at the numbers, and if we were able to work, like let's see what we can provide. It was also kind of at the time when the health insurance mandate came out, and we wanted to hold ourselves to a higher standard. And it's like, okay, well, if a company with 50 employees are required to do this, like depending on if we're strong enough, like cool, we only have 10 people. Let's just pay for everyone's health insurance. And it's such a crazy world out there right now. I just read a statistic that 66% of all personal bankruptcies are due to medical debt. And
oh, geez.
That is a devastating number. And we've as the labor market has tightened only just within the last couple of years, people are across all industries, I think, are finding difficulty to retain and keep top talent. But since we've opened, we've never had a beer tender resign.
Wow.
And so we still have six, so me, my brewmaster, and then four of our beer tenders. We're the original, like, from day one, the OG gang, OG crew. Yeah, I think that's something to be said about, how we're able to do it.
Sure.
And as we grew, we were able to, add in, like, 401k and with company match. So we kind of increased the benefits as the company grows. And
wow.
I think the staff really appreciate it. But it is a huge expense. We've spent, hundreds of thousands of dollars over the last 4 years to, provide these benefits. But
wow. Good for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Congratulations. I think that's, definitely. It sets you apart from a lot of businesses in general, but especially, like you said, in the brewing industry, where that's none of this stuff is common. I mean, I see here you even offer dental. A lot of businesses don't even offer dental. I mean, that's amazing. Do you find that you have less sick time, that you have more employee uptime, I guess, if we can just really kind of take it down to sort of, machines, because you have full coverage?
Yeah. I think, I feel like a lot of them, I don't know, they're maybe part of the young Invincibles where they feel like that they don't ever get sick or anything.
So, oh, for sure, yeah.
I feel like they're not using it as much as they could be. I mean, even just like a free, you know, turn your head and cough. I mean, at least do that.
Oh, hey!
I'm paying for it, so let's just get that done, right?
Yeah.
Was that kind of like what you wanted to do when you started the brewery, was offer that? Or did it just evolve?
Yeah, definitely. Talking to other brewery owners, and it definitely was not something that we were able to do from day one, but it was definitely a goal for us to do it. It's funny with the comrade name, and I don't know if they're like socialist company policies, but when the company pays for all your health insurance and gives you lots of benefits, I think if you're an employee there, you really enjoy those things.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, some people can be against the free health insurance or free health care, but until you get it.
Yeah, and it's
kinda
nice.
Then it's kind of nice, and then you sort of realize, well, look, man, not to get all political, but yeah, it's like taxes are already being pulled out for police and fire. Why can't they be pulled out for healthcare too? And it would end up saving a lot of people. And what I've sort of been reading, especially because it's the election cycle and whatever, but the companies who offer health insurance, like you're doing, are finding their employees are healthier and they work, they have more uptime. So that's why you're asking that. Yeah, I think
less downtime.
There you go. I like more uptime because it's like a glass half full,
exactly. Yeah. Which is surprising for you.
Yeah. Well, I hate it now. I hate it. And
you did so well, though. Let's go back to it.
Thanks,
feels good. Feels good.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Again, David, I think that's cool. Congratulations, and I think that's even a little bit more respectable than the small brewing company.
It's a great example of what should be going on there. Exactly.
I just opened the Red Con, which is my magic number, 5%.
You like that?
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about this guy, please.
This is kind of the our last year round beer. It's kind of in between the the lightest beer that we can possibly make, and not IPA, so it's a little bit maltier.
Yeah.
It's nice. Got crystal malts. It's got a hint of the roast and the chocolate. But compared to if you read like what a traditional Irish style red ale. They would mention like kind of candy like sweetness. So we kind of like really dialed that back, and it's just a lot more drinkable, but while still kind of retaining that Irish style red ale character. And we won a medal in 2018, a bronze medal for this beer.
What category?
Red ale.
Red ale?
Okay. Irish style red ale.
Oh, right.
Nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, I like this beer. It's everything I like about Irish reds, but not that, again, that super cloying sweet. Thing. It's a little drier than I would expect, but I like it because the finish is biscuity toasty.
And the aroma is that way too.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. No, this is great. Would you mind, what's the malt bill on this?
I'll pull up I'll have to pull up the recipe sheet.
Yeah. Sorry, man. I don't mean to make you keep digging through the archives.
No problem. This is kind of also in our maybe kind of jumps around between the third or fourth bestseller as well. So
wow,
kind of got that loyal following for this beer too,
which is crazy because you got you got IPA, blonde ale, and then the Irish red are your top three. Three or four, but let's just say three because it makes my story better.
It's super accessible. I mean, it's got a lot of flavor.
Yeah, but I think your kudos to your locals and the people coming in that they're trying different stuff. And that's another thing I don't really hear so much about, people coming in and actually tasting everything and drinking more than just that one thing that they like to hone in on.
I think that happens more often than you realize. I think it's just because of the buzz categories, the juicies, the hazies.
Yeah. I'm a little too online, so I feel like whatever Twitter says, that's what
it's gotta be true.
Yeah, right. So
yeah, but I think if you go to a taste room and you actually see what people are ordering, you're going to see like a and obviously this beer is still on because it's successful, so
And we have, we'll have five other IPAs on our, rotator menu too. So there's plenty of hop options too.
Yeah, that was the equivalent of you saying, don't get carried away, Sean. We have plenty of IPAs here.
That's right.
let's see, the sheet pulled up. We got some Crystal 90, Crystal 15, more Munich in here. Yep. We're using some Imperial
some
malt
of my favorite
and
malts.
Just a touch of black malt.
Wow. It's pretty basic. I like the layering of the crystal malt. I think that's effective, and it comes through pretty nicely, too.
Yep. And then this one, let's see, we must add some leftover Mount Hoods, but I think the one that won the medal, we put Simcoe in there, and people were like, why'd you put Simcoe in Irish style red ale? because we were over contract on Simcoe, and for no other reason than that.
Right. But that's the one that won bronze.
Yes.
Well, if he wouldn't have had it in there, he probably would have won gold.
Oh, wow. Hit him with that one.
What category what year did you enter that?
Oh, that was 2018.
Yeah, I think I judged that category, by the way. But anyway.
Did you really?
I might have. I don't remember. But it's fun to tell the story, isn't it?
Yeah, now look at your records. Now it's time for David to take a break and for you to look at your records, Sully, and determine.
Let me go back. Let me look at my notes on that particular beer. Entry 35642. Yes,
there you
noted
go.
Too hoppy.
Yeah, I think
there's really not that much hop in there. We put in a 70-minute addition for 13 BUs calculated, and so that's the only hops that are in it.
I love this beer.
Yeah, I think it's great, man. I think it's really great. Well, David, hey, man, I want to thank you very much for taking time out of your night of shuffling paperwork.
Yep, and your dry march.
Yeah, to come in here. If anybody's in the Denver area, check him out, Comrade
Absolutely.
Brewing. You go to comradebrewing.com. Do you have any events coming up, David, you want to plug and maybe drive anybody who might be in the Bay Area, or not in the Bay Area, in the area.
Denver area.
To your spot?
Yeah, we're going to, we haven't really done anything special for St. Paddy's Day, but we're going to have that Redcon. It's going to be aged in a local Colorado rye whiskey barrel.
Nice.
And we're going to have Irish dry stout as well to kind of just have that.
I love it.
And our anniversary is last Saturday of April. Come by and for that last Sunday in April for free tacos.
Free tacos.
Yeah, I'm all about that. All right, David, thanks a lot, man.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It, man.
Good beers. Good talking to you.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, thanks, man.
Take care.
Bye.
Cheers.
Good beers.
Yeah, it was
nice
good stuff,
range.
Man. Yeah, I like that, man. That's
I like that
my
you
thing.
Ended it with the red here.
I mean, hey, good. I asked him. He told me to do that.
Okay, hey, just
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, it's tasty.
Just saying.
It's dry,
it's
too.
It is. It's good beer. It's complex, but drinkable.
Yeah. It's that layering, man. It's that crystal malt layering.
Yeah, you said that a couple of times. You like that.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, you mentioned that, and, you know, stop mentioning it is really what I'm hearing.
Just having fun.
Well, that's good, Sully. You know what we like to do is have fun here on this show. I don't know if you knew that or not about anything, but...
It's about having fun. Friends having fun.
That's right. No, that's not the right. That's not the right one.
What are you doing over there? You're clicking around?
Yeah, I'm clicking around, man. I'm trying to find this this read, but I don't see it. Oh, is it this one? It's to the left. Okay, yeah,
there you
here
go.
We
you
go.
Got it. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, you ready? Go ahead and
well,
do it.
You know what? Actually, this speaks to me. Thin is in.
Oh.
Okay? They say, but what's good about a thin steak? I mean, nothing, I guess. Or a thin wallet. Or, in my case... Thinning hair.
Ah.
Did I tell you that I'm trying to do the pony? I'm trying to do the bald ponytail tracksuit look? Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying. Look at the back of my hair.
Yeah.
Look at that. It's coming down.
Yeah. You got to keep it going.
I got to keep it going,
That's
baby.
Good. It's
going
to be great.
That's my thing. The answer to these rhetorical questions is nothing. Nothing is good about these things. So why, then, is every brand of men's body wash so weak and watered down? Any argument for using this crap is pretty thin, Sully. Enter Thick. A new product from Duke Cannon Supply Company, Thick earns its name by being 3 times thicker than common body washes. It's the high viscosity alternative to watching your money run down the shower drain. Thick comes in a big-ass container that you crack open
great.
Like a beer. And it comes in 4 distinctly masculine scents that won't leave you smelling like a teenaged boy. Thin is out. Thick is in.
It's thicker than teenage boy wash.
That's right. And thicker than teenage boys, if you know what I'm trying to say. These are big bottles, baby.
This smells great.
Yeah, which one do you have?
I've got the citrus sandalwood and oak moss.
What's it called? There's a name for it.
Oh, it's called High Viscosity Body Wash. Accomplishment.
There you go.
Smells like accomplishment. Sorry, I'm... And to find it.
What I like about these, like the it's a lot like me. It's short but thick, and I'm tall guy, so you know what I'm talking about. Ducannon thick high viscosity body wash, $9 a piece, or all four for $30. You can check these out online. Accomplishment, like you have, Sully, is a modern and clean citrus profile balanced with sandalwood and oak moss. I guess so it doesn't get too sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good balance.
Yeah. Naval Supremacy, which is, I have the soap version, the bar version of that, and I think it's my favorite scent. They say it's a refreshing ocean scent with notes of fresh water, musk, and bergamot. Old Glory, which is this one here, which one. I also have, I think, a bar of.
Yeah.
A rich, sophisticated, and classically masculine scent, which is also me. This is basically the JP line of soaps. Blends notes of tobacco, cedarwood, and amber. And then Productivity, which Bev selfishly stole from Sam, which I find the name ironic in that regard, is an invigorating and uplifting combination of peppermint, pine, and eucalyptus.
Nice.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. So if you've had enough of the thin gruel that is your current body wash, check out Thick. It's made with plant-based thickeners for a superior lather, and it's made in the United States. You're not going to need that gross loofah anymore. And as an added bonus, when you heft a 17.5-ounce bottle of Thick, you're getting in a light arm workout.
It is pretty heavy.
It is pretty heavy, right? So check out DukeCannon.com. Use the promo code BREWING. Bev, that's BREWING. Remind me, for 15% off your entire order. Free shipping with orders over $35. A range of Ducannon men's premium products are also available at your local Target. But you don't need to go there. Go to Ducannon.com. Use that promo code BREWING. You save 15%. Tell them, basically, that's your way of saying thanks for supporting the Brewing Network.
I like it. Also says, never test it on animals, just bad interns. And there's another little phrase here they have. It's like, not for clowns. Very clever. Love it. It's fun, and it smells great, and it works great.
Yeah. I'm gonna shower.
I'm actually going to take this one home.
Which one are you going to take?
I'm going to take the Accomplishment.
You're going to take Accomplishment home?
Yeah.
All right. I think I'm going to take Naval Supremacy, because honestly, that's what I showered with today to come here.
I can tell.
And then I put on the Ducannon Solid Cologne. Put that on, so I'm like a
tracksuit.
Ducan it out, baby. I'm 100% American right now, baby boy.
I think they need a spokesman right here.
Well, I mean,
show up at events.
They got one. Hi, I'm a spokesman. Ew, gross. It's you.
Don't sell yourself short.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. Anyway, we're gonna take another break. We're gonna come back. We're gonna wrap things up here, everybody. We're gonna talk about the Twitter game. So if you haven't checked that out, please check that out now. And then we're going to leave.
It's my campaign slogan, O'Sullivan 2020. We need like a bunch of echo behind that, too.
I wish I could do that. All right, hang on, everybody. It's the session. We'll be right back.
Haven't had this much fun since Doc fell off a stripper pole.
The Brewing Network.
I don't know if I've said that before, Bev, but I have a bar over this. We could trade. It'd be nice. Actually, do me a favor. Come smell me, since I just washed with this basically today. And then we're talking about trading each other's thickness. Bev, can I trade my thickness for your thickness? Sounds like a Taylor Swift song for some reason. Oh, yeah, I could get behind that. Smells like Productivity, peppermint, pine, and eucalyptus. I don't know. Do you want to trade? Do you want my Naval Supremacy for your Productivity? All right, well, you figure it out. Welcome back, everybody. It's the session. Doing a little wrap-up here. But before we do that, of course, where the fuck is the thing? Sully, I hate everything. All right, here we go.
Are we in the air?
We're on the air, man.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Sully's texting. I don't know what he's doing. Swiping.
Just content together here.
Well, I have breaking news, Sully. This important PSA is brought to you by Manscaped.com, which is, this is your pubic service announcement, Sully.
I need, wait, let me listen up.
That's right. Even the word pubic excites Sully now. He's so old. It's like, ah. After more than 18 months of research and development, the Manscaped engineering team has confirmed that they have successfully created the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created.
Huh.
The new trimmer was just released moments ago, and we're the first to confirm the new improved Lawnmower 3.0 manscaping trimmer is now available for purchase. It's the third generation Manscaped trimmer, and it features a cutting edge ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents. Millions of balls are about to be nick-free thanks to Manscaped advanced skin-safe technology. If you use Lawnmower 2.0, if you were the one of the early adopters from this show, it's an easy transition because it's the same replacement blade with a new and improved skin-safe technology. And when we say premium, it's premium. The battery, it's a 90-minute battery.
That's a good 90 long minutes. Time.
That's a good long
you can
time.
Take care of business.
You could really, really get in there and take care of business.
So.
Yeah.
In a pinch, I used Sam's 3.0.
But, okay.
But
how were your balls?
Not on my balls.
Okay. Okay, well, that's good.
I actually used it on my underarms. And I just want to say that
All right. They
were quite smooth. Like, I can't really use like electric clippers under your arms because you want like a smooth, close shave. It was pretty damn close.
So I haven't.
Did it require the whole 90 minutes though?
It did not, because...
Well, Bev has deep armpits, Yeah.
It took 90 minutes just because of the different angles.
That's right. I haven't used mine yet, so does it get, smooth, or is there some stubble, or can you adjust that? I don't know any of these
things. So I used it with no guard.
Okay, no guard, right.
Well, yeah, because I wasn't shaving my balls.
Right. maybe you should think about doing that, because I've seen you in shorts.
Rude.
Yeah.
It was incredibly smooth and easy. I mean, for an electric razor, it was smooth and it was easy,
and it
did not nick or pinch.
Well, that's good.
That's perfect. That's what you want.
Did you try to nick or pinch? Because I
was not careful.
I would do that. Well, I mean, that's to be, but it's to be expected. But did you try? Like, I'm really going to dig in, because that's what I would do. Is like, I want to see if this is going to.
You'd test it.
Yeah. I would say that if I were using other clippers, I don't think I actually tried to hurt myself. But if I were using other clippers, I would have.
Okay, so you trusted the Manscaped 3.0 technology.
I did.
See? And you didn't even know you did.
Honestly, you're kind of right.
Yeah. Did you use the light? I mean, it's on, but
it
did you find the light helpful? Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it helped.
Yeah. It has a LED light which illuminates grooming areas, like armpits, for example, for a closer and more precise trimming. They've also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor. With Quiet Stroke TM technology, which makes me horny. And let's not forget about the charging stand. Show your mower off loud and proud, because this intelligently designed stand is a rapid charging dock powered by USB. So trim that junk of yours, get 20% off plus free shipping with code, what is the code, BN Army?
I believe so. Yes.
We should probably look at that.
It's not on the read?
No.
Oh.
Jay's going to read, come back and listen to this. I'm like, come on, you guys. And we're all going to get fired.
Again.
I really should look. I think it is BN Army. It makes sense that it would be BN Army. But let's see what it is. And see, it's not even, doesn't even say anywhere. I don't know. It's a BN Army. How about that?
So it's definitely BN Army or Brewing. It's one of those two.
All right. So check out BN Army or Brewing. I'm going to upload. It's Brewing. I had to open up the
brewing.
It says in the old read. Okay, well, that's good to know. It's it's brewing. Remember, they're both brewing.
They're both brewing.
All right.
There you go.
I feel stupid, but then again, I'm also not paying attention at this time because I'm doing the Twitter game. So I forget. I'm stupid. 20% off and free shipping, which is awesome, to be honest with you. 20%
that's worth
off. Yeah. At use code brewing, manscaped.com. 20% off, free shipping, manscaped.com. The Manscaped 3.0, the Lawnmower 3.0, I should say. All right. That's enough of that. We're going to wrap up the Twitter game, and then we're just going to get out of here, I guess. So it's going to be an easy time.
It's been a good show.
Yeah. I think so, too. I'm excited about it. I love it. Twitter game brought to you by the 21st Amendment. Sully, what do you have going on in the 21st Amendment?
I just got back from L.A., actually.
Oh.
Yeah. I was down there. I go down there every year for the LA IPA Festival at the Mohawk Bend in, where is it? Sorry. It's been a long weekend, folks.
In LA, you already said.
Yeah. Echo Park, I believe.
Okay, right.
And, that's the Eagle Rock. It's great. It's, you know, it's Tony Yano's place, and he puts this festival on and just invites down a bunch of brewers, and we kind of all hang out. And Roger Davis was there from Faction.
Okay, right.
And a whole bunch of us. Alex was there from Three Weavers, and I'm not going to name everybody. But
no, you should. Alphabetically, please.
Okay.
By region. Yeah,
Julian was there from Beechwood.
Yeah, there you go.
David McLean was there from Admiral Malting. So just to name a few. But it's a lot of fun. I mean, you kind of go down there, and it's and we're judging IPAs. It's all West Coast style IPAs. So
right.
And you know, there's it's
here's a question.
There's a lot of beers there.
Do you get paid for that?
Nobody else does, but I do. No, I go down there because I enjoy it.
You go down there, okay. Yeah. All right.
You know, I go down there, you know, part of our sales team shows up, so that's
I was
going
to say, I would like to do that, but then I can't afford to do it. So then I'm like, well, I want to be invited, but then I don't because I don't want to pay $300 in airfare.
You would be invited, but anyway.
Shit.
Yeah, so it's just, it's a lot of fun, and I mean, when you win this thing, you really win it. I mean, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this year's winner was this from North Park Beer Company in North San Diego County. They won. Second place was actually Heal the Bay IPA by Victor Novak at Golden Road.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And then local favorite Fieldwork Brewing Company won third place with Boss of the Plains. So these are like, I mean, you're judging these IPAs, and there's some clunkers, you know, but there's definitely, I mean, all world-class beers across the board.
Yeah.
And they run a great event, and they have people waiting in line to get in, and the whole place is packed.
Of course they do.
It's just a great scene. It's just a lot of fun. I mean, I like going down there because you get to connect with the other brewers and the people that you see every year. Friends of mine, because they used to live in LA, show up, and so it's a great time. And then there's a great bar down the street called the Tiki Tea.
Okay,
which is you know your
sounds
favorite.
Like right up my alley.
Yeah, you'd enjoy that. So yeah, definitely when you're look for it every year around this time.
Okay,
you should get down there and you should come down.
I think it'd be fun. You find me next door at the Tiki Bar. Man, those IPAs were great.
Great, yeah.
Yeah, my third like suffering bastard or some shit. Like, oh,
Ray's mistake.
Amazing.
Space pilot.
When are you? And are you looking forward to bringing Ian, your son Ian, to any of these events? Is he into it?
Well, he's almost 17.
Yeah.
So he's not into it yet. I don't know. I probably would. I mean, if he's interested in it, but I mean,
to me that would be cool. I think it would sound fun to like to this thing where, you know,
bring him down.
Yeah, sort of show him the ropes a little bit about tasting
beers.
How
you do an IPA festival. Yeah, I mean, he might enjoy it. I mean, it is work, you know. You do
sure.
You are there, you're on, you're doing your thing. But it's a lot of fun. It's fun work. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think he'd rather, you know, I don't know, do something else maybe, but you
That's
never
right.
know.
Video games with me.
That's right. You guys playing? What's the game you guys play? Because you do play games together.
Division 2.
Yeah, that's the new one.
Because it was $3 online.
Yes.
It was $3. I mean,
he
how
turned
did
to
not
me. He goes like,
it?
"Dad, can I get this? It's $2.99." He was like, "Jason's trying to get me to get it." I was like, "Yeah, you should get it." Actually, I love watching you guys play together.
Yeah,
because it's funny.
It is funny. I do like it. It's a good time.
Yeah.
All right, let's do the Twitter game, Sully.
Let's do it. So what was the question?
Is come up with your campaign slogan because you're running for president.
That's right. I am, actually. Super Tuesday is coming up.
So we had a few good ones. Honestly, Beb doesn't think so, but what does she know? She doesn't know anything about anything, really. So, Sully, you're going to have to keep track of these for me, okay?
Okay.
All right. Our friend Gordon Strong.
Oh, Gordon.
Yeah, which I think his comment is like... just showing his age. A watermelon in every pot. Because it wasn't that like an FDR thing where it's like a chicken in every pot or whatever.
Yeah. I like Gordon.
Old,
that's good.
Old ass Gordon. No, I love
him. What are you
Gordon.
Talking about? Hopefully I'll see him
kidding.
Down at CBC in April.
I love Gordon.
Or World Beer Cup.
There you go. Let's see. Barley Boy. Sully Crosley 2020. Bringing the wetness factor back.
I like that. That ties in an old slogan.
That's right.
That we into a this year's election.
This is from the Rev. The 28th Amendment. Sully legalizes weed and monopolizes on cannabis-infused beer called Old Red Eyes. Instead of watch out, it's Sully 2020. Hey, man, just chill.
I'm totally writing this down, and I'm actually going to make $1 million off this, I think.
I think you should. Let's see. We got a couple more here. I think that's probably it. I mean, there's some good ones. There's some good ones, but I think that's it. You want one more?
Yeah, we only have three.
Ooh, yeah, Bev, you were right. This is hard. This is tough.
Three that I thought were funny.
what was Bev's? What was her comment? They were.
I don't know. They were. Gulpo, make clear IPAs great again.
Okay,
that's not bad. Yeah, it's sort of relevant, right? So, what do you think? What do you think the winner is?
Well, since it's my campaign, I should choose, right?
You should choose. That's right. We don't even get a vote. That's how democracy works. The person with the most money in the room elects the winner of the thing.
I'm not in that room.
Who is that person?
And that's called delegations, right?
Stay in the corner over there.
That's right.
Well, read them again. What was the first one?
I don't know. You're supposed to write them down.
No, this is what you do all the time.
It was Gordon Strong.
Gordon Strong, a watermelon in every pot.
Like that one a lot.
All right. Barley Boy with Sully Crossy 2020, bring the wetness factor back. And then the third one, make clear IPAs great again.
You left out the weed one.
Oh, that's right. 28th Amendment, where you legalize weed and cannabis. Monopolize cannabis
hard.
And whatever.
I mean, this is really hard. I mean, these are solid. So, you know, I don't know if you've ever done this before, but I think everybody wins. Can we do that?
Bev just gave you the screw eye because now she has to reach out to four people. Can we do that? That's what Sully wants.
Yes.
He's a sponsor of the segment.
I don't care. Sure.
Everybody wins. These are amazing.
All four of you, send me an email and I'll eventually send you a t-shirt.
Is Justin going to call me up like in an hour going like, you did what?
No, it's fine.
Eventually. I'll eventually send you a t-shirt.
It was easier when it was like all, I could just do it. I could just log into our t-shirt supplier and do it. But now I have the t-shirts in a suitcase in my storage room, my storage closet.
You want me to revote?
So I have to like go in, find the size, package them up myself, go to the post office, which nobody wants to do.
Oh, geez.
So. That's why I say eventually, because I only go to the post office like once a month.
What do you think people would rather do? Go to the post office or hear you complain about going to the post office?
I like
Yep.
Okay. Got it.
Well, I could pick one if you want. I thought they were really good, though. I mean, you know.
No, it's
watermelon,
fine.
You know.
Everyone wins. There you go,
there
Sully.
You go, whatever.
Honestly.
This is my last appearance on the show.
Honestly, maybe two of them will actually email me.
That's okay. Right.
Like.
Gordon, don't forget to email.
Never email me.
Yeah, Gordon. On the computer. All right.
That was fun. Mix it up.
Yeah, it's good times.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think we're out of here.
Let me
find my clothes. Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, that's it. That's all I got to talk about.
That's good.
I guess, is it? I don't know, man. I'm having my kid's second birthday on Saturday.
I think I'm
that's
in town.
Weird.
I think we're going to come.
I think you should. Finally, you should come to my house.
You haven't
been to my house.
I know.
It's like like the opposite of Bev, where I invite you all the time, but you've never been. But Bev never writes me, and I've never been to her new house. So
I'll run your pizza oven.
That's how it works. Please do.
That's rusting in the backyard.
It kind of is. But that's all right. We're going to have a jumpy house.
Is it a castle or a giant frog?
I think it's a tiki jungle bar thing. Yeah, it'll be a good time. My kid will be serving punch to everybody. I don't know, I think I'm going to make a punch, though. Yeah, why not? Fuck it. We'll get everybody completely hammered. Because
I'll bring my ears up glasses.
Please. Well, we have to. I think a lot of the people who are going to be there are going to be like, I drink Bud Lights or whatever. And they have no idea what a tiki punch is going to be. And I think it's going to knock people out.
This is sweet. It tastes fruity.
Yeah.
There's no alcohol in here, is there?
I want more. All right. Thanks a lot, everybody, for tuning in. And we will see you next week. I believe it's Federation Brewing is on next
Correct.
Week. All right. That'll be a good time. Listen to other Brewing Network shows. You could say like Heads and Tails, but we don't have anyone booked, so that's not happening. Dr. Homebrew, I think, is recording next week.
Yeah.
All sorts of fun shows here on the Brewing Network. Thank you very much. Take care of each other. Goodbye.